All right, Psalms chapter number 26. We'll go on down there to verse number 7. We wrapped up on 6 before we ate lunch. And John David, I don't give a flip what the world says. If you eat tonight at 5 o'clock, it'll be supper. Not dinner, son, it'll be supper. The Lord didn't sit down in the evening and eat dinner. The Lord sat down in the evening and ate supper. Amen. I just like eating what the Lord ate. Huh? He ate supper. You take your little old sissies and y'all go over and y'all eat you some dinner. Y'all eat some dinner. I'm gonna go over with the Lord and we're gonna eat supper. Amen. Amen. Dinner. It's so proper. Dinner. I hate all that proper. Dinner. Mama, did we ever eat dinner at night? Huh? We ate supper, didn't we? We used to eat dinner at school by 11 o'clock. Dinner break. Right, amen. And then the Mexicans showed up. We started having lunch breaks because they had them little lunch trucks. Little silver chrome with a flap up side. You go over and get you a burrito and spend the rest of the day bent over a wheelbarrow. All right, enough foolishness. Bible says, David said, that let's back up to verse number 6 because it goes together. I will wash my hands in innocency. So will I compass thine altar, O Lord. Why? Why in the world would that I may publish with a voice of thanksgiving? You know what that altar will do for you? Huh? It'll leave you thankful. Huh? David said, when I get on that altar, he said, I'm going to do it for this so that I can have a voice of thanksgiving. You know what getting up off that altar will do for you in your life? It'll help you give God thanks, the thanks that he deserves. You want to know one of the reasons why people's lost their thankfulness? Because they've lost their prayerfulness, right? They forgot how to talk to God. And when they quit talking to him in that altar, they lose that thankfulness. That's what hey, look at it. That he said, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving. He said, I just want to get up off this place and tell everybody what God's done for me. Boy, that's a blessing. Let me ask you a question. Are you grateful for what God's done for you? I love asking questions. Huh? I love answering questions. Are you grateful for what God's done for you? David said, I hit that altar so I can get up off of it and have a voice of thankfulness. I'll tell everybody what God's done for me. Hmm? Are you thankful that God has saved you? Just a simple question. Are you thankful that God has saved you? Are you thankful enough that you told anybody lately? Are you that thankful? Good question, ain't it? I mean, it seemed like to me, if you're thankful, you're going to want to tell somebody. And if you're thankful about your salvation, you're going to want to tell other people about it. You know, when you spend quality time on that altar, you will come away with a desire to tell other people. Sure. It's just what it does for you. You know what happened to me when I got off the altar of my salvation? You know what happens to just about everybody I've ever met in my life? You ever notice this about testimonies? Most time when people are under conviction, just think about this for a second. When people are under conviction, people sit in church, they don't want nobody to think they're lost. They don't want nobody to know they're lost. They don't want nobody to know that God's dealing with them in such a way. And boy, they just want to be so secretive and so private. Boy, they don't want nobody to pick it up on them. But isn't it amazing that you can hit that altar of salvation and God do that work and pass you from death unto life? The first thing you want to do is let everybody know. I mean, you forget all about, don't want nobody to know, don't want nobody to think, don't want nobody to judge me. Hey, the first thing you want to do when you get saved, you want to start telling other people. Amen. Isn't that amazing? It's amazing. We don't want nobody to know we're lost, and all of a sudden when we get saved, we want to tell everybody, man, I once was lost. But now I'm found. I was blind, but now see, it's amazing. That's what David's talking about right there. Just man, you get up off that altar and you just won't tell people. That's what happened to me. I come out them woods, I wanted everybody to know. You know what some of my family said? I thought you were saved. Well, listen, Jack Leg, meet me outside. Listen, Jack Leg, I wasn't saved. I made a profession. I told you, God just saved my soul out there in the woods. Can't you say thank God? Can't you say, well, man, that's great? Can't you say, well, hey, it's about time you got the real thing? Oh, Lord, have mercy. When I knelt on that altar, he brought me out of a horrible pit. Are you listening? If you ever do get brought out of a horrible pit, if you ever do get brought out of that pit of darkness, if you ever do get released from them shackles and chains, if you ever are set free from your guilt, hey, listen, ladies and gentlemen, the first thing you're going to want to do is come forth and tell everybody what God has done. Hey, pass me from death unto life. I was brought out of a horrible pit. Don't you want to stand on a mountain and say, this poor man cried and the Lord heard him? Well, I want everybody to know. What a testimony. I'm telling you, that's what that altar will do, ladies and gentlemen. You can bring your burdens, you can bring your cares, you can bring your problems, and you can bring your life, you can bring whatever, lay it on that altar. Man, it's a sacrificial place. It's a place, thank God, where you can bring your load and leave it there, and God will do a work in your life, and you can get up and say, man, let me tell you what God has done for me. You can be saved by the grace of God and lift your way to an altar, and God can do a work in your life. You'll leap your way back to your seat. I'm just telling you, friend, when you get cleaned up with Him and get right with Him, when He alters your life on that thing, you want to let other people know what Jesus has done for you. I have a problem with people that don't. I'm afraid it's not real. I'm just afraid it's not real. You mean to tell me that a man can be brought out of bondage and not want everybody to know I've been made free? Sure he's going to want everybody to know. Sure. And he don't even have to much say it because everybody else can kind of just see it. I'm telling you, man, it puts a spring in your step. It'll put a smile on your face. It'll put a song in your mouth. It put praises on your lips. Sure it will. It just do that stuff for you. Man, I tell you, I look in people's eyes a lot of times and just kind of see what's going on down there in that heart. Want to see what's going on. Give me a good read. Look in them eyes. Man, you look in them eyes of them old sodomites. They can have a smile on their face, but their heart is weeping. Tell you, they long and they're looking, they're searching, they're empty. Just empty, empty. Sad, boy. Look, verse number 8 said this, and this is really a verse I wanted to dwell on, but I'm not going to, not at this point. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house. Listen to that. I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwells. David said, Lord, I love going to church. I love going to the house of God. He said, I just love it. That's when he said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Huh? Boy, what a blessed day it is when Sunday rolls around. Oh, church, listen, I anticipate, you know when I'm going to start anticipating next Sunday? As soon as we leave here today. I mean, Monday morning, son, I'm getting up, I'm searching, I'm praying. I'm already thinking about getting back next Sunday. David said, man, I love the house of God. Do you love the house of God? Is it a place that you want to be? Hey, listen, if nobody was going to hold you responsible, if nobody was going to ask questions, if nobody was going to twist your arm, if nobody was involved whatsoever, is it your desire? Would it be your desire to get up and go to the house of God on your own? If nobody even knew you was going, would it be in your heart to get up and go? David said, I love going to the house of God. Man, I like that. I love getting together. Listen, I love getting together, ladies and gentlemen. This is what David's saying, and I'm bearing witness with it. I love getting together with a bunch of people that wants to hear the word of God. Huh? You understand, we might say some pretty harsh things in here sometimes. I never have anybody go, man, blah, 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 you know, start. You can say half the stuff, a third, an inkling of the stuff that we say in here, out there, and then people go crazy. It's just good. What are you saying? I'm saying it's so good to be able to come in here with a people that's like-minded, you hear me? A people that's like-minded, a people that's wanting to glean from the Word of God, somebody that cares, other people that love church. Amen. It's good to be with people like that. I look forward to that. Man. If everybody in my life and everybody in my house stop going to church, you know what? I'm going to look forward to getting back down there myself. Amen. I'm not going for them. I'm not going because anybody else goes or anybody else, you know, holds me accountable. Look, this is between me and God. I love being at His house. Amen. Like it. Then he said this, verse number 8. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. Church, this is a place. Are you listening? I want you to pay attention real good. This is a place where the honor of God ought to dwell. I mean, think about that for a second. This is a place where God ought to be honored. Without question. His honor ought to just dwell in this place. I can remember as a boy, Miss Holly, that we was in vacation Bible school at Hope Baptist Tabernacle, and Preacher Fry, my pastor, was our teacher. And I can remember the little classroom that we were in, and I can remember the chairs sitting in the room and the people sitting in the chairs, and I was just a little bitty fella. But I can remember it, Zach, just like it was yesterday, and the preacher, the pastor, he was in our class teaching us. I think he was in there because we were so mean. And nobody else wanted us, and the pastor said, I'll take them. And so we were in the classroom, and the pastor was actually bragging on one of the students in the classroom. And the other boys, they said, them Ratledge boys and Kevin Hobson and them, they said, Preacher, he's not like that at school. He just acts like that while he's here. And I thought it was very wise what my pastor said. I was anxious to see because I was a little hypocrite too. I didn't act the same in that class as I did, you know, out of that class. Here's what my pastor said. He said, at least he knows how to act at the house of God. At least he knows how to act when he gets here. Church, I'm telling you, this ought to play, be a place of honor. I know it's just a little old block building. I know that. It ain't much to look at. I was even, listen to me. Well, I brought Eric by here the other day just to let him see it. I didn't slow down a lick. I just kept, there wasn't no pride in me, son, to show him a big old fancy building. He already laughed at it because he looked at a black church over there. That's a pretty nice black church. He said, is that y'all's church? I went, no, our building ain't that nice. And he kind of laughed. And I went, he must think I'm kidding. And then they put the pressure on him. Miss Holly, when I drove by here, I said, well, maybe I should better speed up a little bit. And, you know, he will change his mind about coming to be part of the church. What are you saying? I'm just saying, bro, we ought to respect the sanctuary as a place that honors God, huh? It's not a playground. It's not a playground. We're to honor the house, this sanctuary is sanctified. Hey, can I tell you, this place is not a boxing ring. It's not a place where you come get in a fight with fellow people in this building. Huh? You don't come in here and sling it out with people. You don't come in here and pick fights and run our mouth about each other. It's not a boxing ring. It's not a playground. This is not a gossip box. It's not where we come and we can run down our neighbors and, you know, other church. It's not a gossip box. It's not. This is a place that ought to have God's honor. Huh? And we ought to treat it as so. Hey, listen, the sanctuary. I think you ought to respect the sanctuary. It ought to be a place that God's honor dwells, and, you know, and we're trying to take care of it. And I mean, I ain't saying yes because of this verse, but I'm telling you, I've even thought about out of my own pocket reaching out to the owner of this building and going, sir, would you mind if we put some siding on that building? You know, because it's the place, Zach, where we meet. You understand? It's the place that we meet. It's the place that we call the assembly, the church, where we come together. And yeah, I would like for it to look better. So I don't want to tear and destroy what we have. I would actually like to improve it. To the point where I even thought about it and thought, man, I'd like to ask him. Wouldn't take much to just dress it up a little bit. Because I think about the paint peeling off the back wall and I think, that's awful. I don't like the looks of that. It's awful. But I don't know if there's anything you're going to be able to do about it with the sun baking on them blocks and just boiling that paint off the wall. It's never going to stick. And I thought maybe some vinyl siding would make it look decent. I don't know. I'm just saying, man, this place ought to be a place that honors God. Huh? It just should. I like what my pastor said. Hey, listen to me. I'm not trying to teach you to be a hypocrite. But I believe this place ought to be held at a higher standard. That's why we don't put up with hypocrites, right? That's why the hypocrites don't belong at the house of God. You ought to be just what you are. Just be what you are. I'm not going to judge you. Yeah. You know, I'm not going to do that. I'm good for you to be real. But Miss Amber, if you're going to run around your little town down there in your short shorts, for God's sakes, listen to me. Don't come to this house with your short shorts on. Cover your ugly butt legs and put your skirt on. At least know how to dress. Oh, I'm saying is,
at least not addressed when you get down to the house of God. Right?
I ain't picking on her. I'm just saying most of them's ugly anyhow, and they want to show them off. They got, hey, I ain't never seen two or three of them didn't have cellulite anyway, unless they were screen printed or blowed or something. You understand what I'm saying? It ain't that attractive, ladies, by the way. It's not that attractive. Your legs ain't that nice. Cover them stinking things up, for God's sakes. Who wants to go to the house of God and look at a bunch of pornography? We can do that at home on our computers. We don't have to come down here and look at your breast and your legs. And cover that junk up when you get down to the house of God. Amen. We don't have no problem with that around here. But I get sick and tired of the liberals that condone all that junk. This ought to be a place that honors God. You understand? Telling you to be a hypocrite, but for God's sakes, learn how to act here. Learn how to dress here. Learn how to carry yourself here. There will be a place where we can come and God's honor dwells in this place. Don't honor God to show our flesh like that. Don't honor God. Matt, I couldn't get no witness out of you back there, son, but need your help from time to time. Okay. They just ought to be some honor in the house of God. There ought to be some junk that we never bring in the house of God. Is that correct? You think people, hey, listen, can I be honest with you? I didn't realize it. But my son sat back there on that back pew, not the last time he was here. And my wife or somebody told me, said he did while he was in church. I hope his stinking teeth rocked out of his head. You hear me? You come in the house of God with a gift in your mouth, I hope your teeth fall out of your head, your tongue turns purple. I ain't got no tolerance for that. That's grievance to the Holy Ghost, friend. This ought to be a place that honors God. I don't give a flip. Who it is? My son, your son, who it is? You don't bring that stuff in the house of God. If I'd have known that, I'd have thrown a songbook trying to bust his head. I'm not getting it. I just ain't going to put up with that junk. You deal with yours the way you do, I'm going to deal with mine. I ain't going to tolerate that. Set in the house of God, dip snuff. I don't care how old timers used to spit and spit tooth. They were wicked as hell for doing that junk. You hear me? Taking that stuff in the house of God's wicked as hell. Putting up with that. What David said, David said, try me, Lord. Examine me, judge me, show me. These are the things I've done and not done. Well, it's God honoring, friend. This is a place that honors God. If it don't honor God, let's keep it out, right? Let's keep this church clean and pure and right. Let's keep it a place where it can honor God. Let's keep this a place where God, if He passes by one Sunday and peeks in on us, let's keep this a place where God says, that's where I want to be today. Huh? Let's keep it a place like that. Man, I'm telling you, there's nothing like a place where God can make His abode. This is His house. It's what we call the house of God. We're the guest here. We're His visitors. We expect Him to be here. We're coming in to spend time with Him. I won't do anything to make Him leave. Because He'll let us have it. We should strive to take care of it. You know how many people I've seen sit in church and just listen? Michael, I'm trying to get off of this, but you know how many people I've sit and watched in church just have a texting heyday? Are you listening? I said a place that honors God. You know how many people I've seen sit in church that just have a texting heyday? Isn't it amazing that we don't have to talk on the phone no more? But bless God, we can hear the Word of God and be texting our tails off. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
You think that honors God? Son, answer that. You think that honors God? You think while the Word of God's being proclaimed for us to sit around and stink and text and play on the phone, that honors God? David said this is a place in order to honor His dwelling. Never seen no such thing where you disrespect the Word of God so blatantly that God says, I'm honored with that. I want to dwell in that place. Miss Tanya, I've sat in churches before. I've sat on them back rows before and watched people right directly in front of me just spend the whole time on Facebook. And I'm telling you, it's nothing but pornography because they're pulling up pictures of people in bathing suits and everything else. And I thought, my God, I got to come to the house of God with that junk. If you got a Facebook, have a Facebook. I don't give a flip. You do whatever you do, but for God's sakes, in order not to be at the house of God, don't you care any more about the Word of God than that? Let's keep this place a place where we don't have to run our business and we don't have to conduct our social life. And man, this ought to be a place where the honor of God is upheld. Right. I don't honor God. I'm so glad, listen, I'm so glad that Travis Clayton was sitting with me on that back row, Michael. I'm so glad that that old air clearing preacher, he's so sweet to us because he knows we try to do about half right. But I'm telling you right now, Travis Clayton can clear the air, friend. If there's any pollution going on, that brother can clear the air. And he was sitting with me and he watched that Facebook and they called on him to preach. He cleared the air. Amen, son. He cleared the air. I said, thank God. I'm glad. Blow that junk out. Let's get God's honor back in this place. I'd rather have the honor of God than the applaud of man. Just have. Well, I see it a lot of times, and I know, and I ain't trying to pick on you, but I know a lot of times people would rather play with their hair and do everything under the sun besides just get involved in the things of God in church. Isn't it amazing that we got a 70-some-year-old woman sits in here and works like a dog every day and she'd come in here and stay awake just fine? Hello? Hello? What you so tired for? Bless God, get you a couple more hours of sleep. Do something. I'll tell you what'll help you. Work. That's right. That's right. Get you some energy. Eat something different. Do something better. I know when you eat. I ain't talking about that. When you eat over there and come back in here and it's 80 degrees, it's easy to go to sleep. Especially with, you know, a boring preacher. I understand that. But the Word of God should never put us to sleep. We'd care more about it. If you're going to go to sleep, get up and go stand in the back. I'm serious. Just do whatever you got to do to wake up. That's right. I know it's gross, Miss Holly. But I spit before on my hand and wipe it on my eyes just to wake up. So that's nasty. Well, it's better than going through the water faucet because I was told not to go to the water faucet all my life. So my first she'd say, drink and spit. So I learned instead that when you water them eyes, they kind of open up a little bit. So I would just spit in my hand and wipe it on my eyelids and wake up. I'm talking about honoring God, son. It's not honoring God to fall asleep on the Word of God. It's not an honor. It's a dishonor to Him. You understand what I'm saying? That's a dishonor to Him. Amen. Mama, how come you don't go to sleep? You ought to go to sleep. You're old. You ought to go to sleep. But you do good to stay awake.
She ain't old.
I was just trying to prove a point. I wasn't trying to be mean. What y'all want? It ain't y'all's birthday. Shut up. Hey, let me ask y'all a question, because I feel like I'm about half mean. Do you think it's honorable to God to work your phones in the house of God? Would y'all answer that for me? Help me out. You think it's honorable? You think God's honored with that? You think God's honored when we go to sleep on Him? You think God's honored when we'd rather do anything but sit in our house? Thank you. No, I just think this ought to be a place that honors God. His honor ought to dwell in this place. We're not even have to talk about it, huh? We're not have to talk about it. And, well, let me ask you this. No, I better go on. Verses 9, 10, 11, I'm done. Gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men, in whose hands is mischief, and their right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. There he is. I'm going to walk in the holiness of God. Redeem me and be merciful unto me. Now watch this. My foot standeth in an even place. In the congregations will I bless the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, can I tell you something about living for God? It's a well-balanced life. David said, I'm standing here with God. I've walked in mine integrity. The standard, the holy standards of thy scriptures. I've walked in that, God. And guess where I found myself standing? In an even place. I'm telling you, this whole world's rocking to and fro like a drunken man. And life ain't nothing, sin ain't nothing but an old slippery slope, and you see people just back and forth, their life is unstable, there's no security. Hey listen ladies, what lady in their right mind don't want that security? Mm-hmm. That's what he's telling. He's going, hey, look,
I can give you some stability. What woman don't want stability out of her husband?
Man, don't no woman want an unstable man, just wishy-washy, going this way, that way, following every old wind of doctrine. Don't nobody want that.
David said, I've walked in the holiness of the scriptures, and he said, God put me in a well-balanced life. He said, I'm stable. He said, this place, listen, church, this place is a place of safety. He said, I'm not about to fall off on the pit on that. He said, I'm in a safe place. Remember over in the Old Testament when their life was in danger and they killed somebody accidentally? Remember God said, I'll tell you what, let's build them a city of refuge. Old Kenny Calloway wrote that song. Old boy out of Kentucky got about 3 teeth in his head. He stands up there with his guitar and sings about that city of refuge. And one day I ran to the city of refuge. Guilty I was. Thank God I found a shelter from the storm. Amen. I'm telling you, boy. Hey, found shelter in the blood that he shed for me. Huh? It's a good place to be, Miss Holly. That's where David said I am. He said, I'm dwelling in a safe place. I'm over there in the city of God's refuge. He said, it's a place of salvation. It's a place of safety. It's a place of stability. It's a place of security. It's a strong place, amen. Ain't about to give in. It's a good, sure foundation. David said, when you walk in the integrity of the scriptures, when you start walking in the standards of holiness, you'll find yourself in that place. Ain't that a good place? Wouldn't you like your home to be in that place? Wouldn't you like for your home to be in that nice place? David said that my foot standeth in an even place. In the congregations will I bless the Lord. Listen, church. David said, when I get down to the house of God, I'm going to bless the Lord. I tell you what I'm going to do when I get there. I'm going to come in and I'm going to bless the Lord. Y'all remember when David said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness? That's a blessing, ain't it? Let's turn over and look at it. What is that, Psalms 86? Let's go over there. Psalms 84. Let's turn there and I promise you I'll read this and I'll be done. That boy said, amen. Sound like it anyway. I said, I'll be done. Isaiah said, amen. Psalms 84:1 says, how amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord. That word amiable, that means happy. You know what David was when he was at church? He was happy. He said, this is a happy place, man. It's a good place to be. Then he said, my soul, let's look at verse number 4. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. See, he said, think about it. Stop and think about that. Selah. Yeah. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. Ladies and gentlemen, do you want to be blessed? According to your Bible, if you want to be blessed, you need to dwell in the house of the Lord. Just stay with it. Just stay in the house of God. Hey, you don't believe me? Go ask old Naomi how that works out. Huh? Go ask old Naomi how it works out. And thousands of others that just said, I'm bailing out of here. Go ask them how it worked out for them. I could tell you story after story after story. I could have some of you crying plumb out of your mind if I told some of the stories about people that I know that got away from the house of God, got mad at the preacher. Miss Holly, I'm thinking immediately, and I don't want to pull no tears. I'm not trying to do that. But I'm thinking of a 16-year-old boy I know his mom and daddy got sideways with God's man. And it wasn't 2 years, Zach, and a man shot that boy in the head with a shotgun and blowed his brains out of him. And my friend, stood over that dead body in that casket and said, who pulled the trigger? And he looked at that mom and dad and said, you pulled the trigger. When you got mad at this church, when you got sideways with God's man and you jumped out and you started running your mouth, this boy went buck wild and he broke in a man's house. That man shot him in the head with a shotgun and killed him. That pastor friend of mine looked at him and said, you pulled the trigger, mom. You pulled the trigger. How would you like to deal with that one? to know you buck up against the house of God, the
Word of God, God's man, and got out there and you're young and got shot in the head, and the preacher looked at you and said, "You're the one that shot him. You killed him." Woo, tougher preacher than me, son. Brother Mac was a tougher preacher than me. And he said, "My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for thy courts, of the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found a house." Listen, the sparrow found a house. "And the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young." Where was this found? Even the altars. They found a place to dwell in the altars of God. Isn't that amazing? Them birds went out there at them rock altars and built them nests. Isn't that a blessing to see? Then he said, "O Lord of hosts, my King and my God, blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee." It's what people do at the house of God. I'm telling you, blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, whose heart are the ways of them who, passing through the valley of Baca, make it well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appear before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Watch this. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. David said, "I'd rather spend one day in the house of God than a thousand out of the house of God." You can take and give me the best that this world's got to offer, and give me 1,000 days in the pleasures of this old world. He said, "I'd rather spend one day in the house of God than 1,000 out of the house of God." That's a blessing, ain't it? I'm talking about a place of honor, Zach. It was a good place to be. I mean, it's good enough for the birds to find a place to build their home, huh? The birds. Isn't it amazing that we ain't got the sense God gave a bird? I'd like to preach sometime on bird brains. The birds has got enough sense to build their house in the altars of God, in the house of God, build their homes around God. Isn't that amazing? Well, let's read. He said, "For a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." I'm going to read that little of a, "No good thing will he withhold from them that walk up." Who is them? If you walk uprightly, that's you. You ought to put your name right there. If you walk upright, that's your name. Then he said, "O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee." You want to be happy? You want to be blessed? Trust in the Lord. You'll be happy. You'll be blessed. You know who's happy in this old world? You know who's happy? Happy is he who trusteth in the Lord, whose help cometh from God, whose God is the Lord of, is the God of Jacob. That's who's happy. People that trust in the Lord's happy. Listen, church, I'm done. Michael, I thought about him saying, "I'm going to be a doorkeeper in the house of God and dwell in tents of wickedness." Now, I grew up my family was Freemasons. Listen. And we would open doors a lot of times. And we would lay a brick. I've seen people lay bricks to keep that door open. Y'all ever seen that? You ever seen people open a door and lay a brick or something down to keep the door from swinging closed? You ever seen? Miss Blitman needed one of them in her hall. She had something, but it wasn't a brick. Do you know what David said? That's a doorkeeper. It's keeping that door. He said, "I'd rather be that brick. I'd rather be that brick laying right there than to dwell in the tents of wickedness." That's a doorkeeper. We call them door stops a lot of times. Ladies and gentlemen, all it does is keeps that door from closing. It's a doorkeeper. He said, "I'd rather sit by the door at the house of God. Just sit there. I'd rather just sit there in the house of God. Do nothing else but sit there by the house of God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness." I wish you'd look at that word dwell. That word dwell means living it up. If you get to study that out, bud, he's talking about, I'd rather sit over there like a brick on the door than to just go over there and live it up in the tents of wickedness. Right. It's good, man. So what are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about, man, this could be a happy place. This is a good place. This is the best place on planet Earth to raise a family. I'm telling you, you ought to have your family just, you know, in the house of God. You ought to have your family saturated in an altar somewhere. You ought to stay in the Word of God. You ought to walk in the Word of God. You ought to obey its statutes, huh? Have you some biblical standards in your home and don't compromise. You know, we wait on some kind of a feeling. Well, I don't feel like like I should get rid of this, or I don't feel. Forget the feeling. See what God tells you in His Word. Huh? Michael, if I operated off my feelings, I'd lose every client I had. Because very rarely do I ever feel like going up to the door going, I'm here to work. I'd rather take a beating than to walk to that door and ring that doorbell and have to socialize with people. So I can't operate off my feelings. I'd starve to death. And I got at least one weirdo son that ain't much different. I mean, he sees people in the grocery store that he knows and he runs too. Hello. Say amen. And I'm trying to get it out of him. You can't be like that. You can't be like your daddy. I wish y'all could have seen us the other day. The FedEx truck came to the house. I don't know why, Michael. These idiots. Everybody. Who uses the back door? If I come to your house, I promise I'm coming to your front door, okay? I'll come to your front door and knock on it. Everybody comes to my back door. You don't come to my back door unless you live back. If you live in my house, you can come to the back door. If you're my son or my precious daughter-in-law, you can come to the back door. Otherwise, come to the front door. I've got a mess back there and I'm embarrassed for anybody to see it. So please stay in the front of the house. Me and Matt sitting over at the house, we're praying, son. I mean, we're praying.
Going on hour three.
And somebody knocks on my back door. We both like to knock each other off the banister trying to get up the steps. The door's that way, and me and him's going that way, and we both fighting and trying to knock each other over the banisters to get out of each other, get out of my way. And I'm sitting there going, how much noise? When we went hid, we got down like two little old girls hiding from, you know, Chester. We got down and hid, and I went, how much noise did we make stomping through the house? Do they know we're here? So we start creeping. Come on, how weird I am. And he's with me. We start creeping through the house and just going on tiptoes like we're in army combat or something. You know, we're sniping now. So we get up to a window and we kind of crack the blind and going, who drives a burgundy Envoy? And I'm scanning me and going, who is that? Who is that? And come to find out it wasn't FedEx. I mistook that. It was a stupid flower delivery. Matt's got a 97-year-old girlfriend that's sending flowers. I'm not lying. I'm not lying. So help me God. She's sending flowers. And I went, why does the flower man come to the back door? So, I don't know. That's just the kind of pastor, the weird pastor y'all got. And you think socializing is a problem. Man, I got it. So. Who was it? Who is it? But, hey, you know how many times I've about broke Stephanie's back, pushing her, going, go see who it is. I'm not here. And we got this little old circle thing, Michael, on the side of the door. It's a little magic marker. I said, baby, hold your finger right there and tell him he's not here. And I got here written above it. So you say David's not here, he won't be lying. Because I'm not there. Right? I'm not where she's pointing. But it ain't that bad. But when we had a phone, it was that bad. I said, baby, put that right there beside the phone. Tell them I'm not here. And then bill collectors would call and say, he's not here. Oh, Lord.
He's in the shower.
Hey, wait a minute. That's Jeff's line. Don't bring me on. All right. I better turn this recording off before we lose it.